my daughter Brittany, my oldest daughter, was in going to Lee University, my wife and my other daughter Lindsay decided to go visit her. It was in the winter time or around the springtime, and it had snowed, and so we knew that the highways would be clear. So we decided to get on the highways and make our way from St. Louis, Missouri, down to Lee University here in Cleveland, Tennessee. We were somewhere in Illinois. I don't remember exactly where. And my wife and my daughter are girls, and they said, we need to stop again. And so we stopped again. No explanation needed, right? And so they went inside, but, you know, me being a boy, I didn't need to stop again, so I stayed in the car. Didn't need gas, so I parked right in front of this gas station or this convenience store, and they went inside, and there was a car that pulled up beside of me, and I saw this elderly lady get out of the car, and I noticed that she seemed confused. She was walking around the car, just like walking around the car, and then she was saying something that I didn't understand. She was saying, the vision, something's wrong with the vision. The vision, something's wrong with the vision. And so I felt sorry for her, so I got out of the car to help her, and I said, ma'am, it sounds like you need washer fluid. If you can't see through your windshield, that's all I could think of. So I popped the hood of her car. I happened to have that blue washer fluid, right, in my car, and so the winter kind. And so I popped the hood of her car, found the dispenser, and poured in about half of that gallon or ever how big it comes in into that lady's car, popped the lid down, and when I closed the hood, she grabbed my hands. And honestly, it startled me just a little bit because I had just set this fluid down, and she grabbed my hands, and when I just looked at her like, what are you doing? And when I looked at this lady, I saw something I'd never seen in my life. It was like her eyes, like her eyeballs disappeared. And I was looking into something that was as blue as the Caribbean Sea. Not irises. Something, it almost looked like the ocean was in her head. I know that sounds very strange. And then she spoke and she said, God's getting you ready for what he has ready for you. I said, excuse me? She said it again. She held my hands tightly, and I couldn't take my eyes off of her because I'm looking at this blue in her inside of her head, it looked like, instead of eyes. And she said it again. God's getting you ready for what he has ready for you. And when she said that, I said, wait here. I want you to tell that to my wife because she's not going to believe this. So I turned around and I saw Faith and my daughter Lindsay coming out of this convenience store. And I said, honey, I want you to come here and hear what this lady has to say. She said, what are you talking about, Brian? I said, this lady. And I turned around. There was no car. There was no lady. There were no tracks in the snow. And I'm holding evidence, a half a bottle, a half a gallon of this windshield wiper fluid that I had poured out somewhere. And my wife said, the only reason I believe that was an angel is because you stayed silent for 3 hours, and that's the first time in our marriage that's ever happened. I couldn't speak. I was so caught off guard. I knew I'd seen an angel. I heard angel stories, and I'd always wanted to see an angel, but I didn't know what that would look like, and I certainly didn't expect him to drive a car and look like that. But God gave me this message, God's getting you ready for what he has ready for you. I have been chasing that ever since. I've been chasing that message, God, what is it that you have ready for me? What are you preparing me for? See, there's a big difference in me and a lot of other people. Some people think they're in a battlefield and the devil's winning. So everything to them is an attack. You don't ever hear me say that. Now, I believe in attacks, and they do happen. But you don't hear me talk like that because I don't think like that. I'm not on a battlefield. I'm on a training field. And I believe that God is winning and that God is just drawing me into everything he wants. And when the devil does attack, I know the victory is already won. I just have to make it through to the other side. Now, attacks are hard. Attacks are not easy. But I am not going to be a billboard for the devil. I'm just not going to advertise for him. So if you want to do that, you can. But you're not going to hear me do that. I look for angels, and I declare that even when things aren't going the way I want them to go, God is training me. And I believe that if we could stop and say, God, what is it you're trying to teach me? What is it you're trying to tell me? What is it you're trying to change about my prayer life? We would understand that God is getting us ready for what he has ready for us. So I'm going to take us on a journey. Now, this is a series. It's not a sermon. I'm going to preach, the Lord willing, about 6 sermons on this subject. I'm going to start tonight with the first title of the first lesson called Going Where You Have Never Gone Before. Going Where You Have Never Gone Before. And we're going to spend the next 6 sermons that I preach in the book of Joshua for a while. Anybody ready to conquer some territory? Anybody ready to run out some Hittites and Jebusites and Canaanites? Anybody ready to get rid of those and live in victory? Is there anybody in this room that is tired of always fighting and you're ready to live in joy and peace and love and the victory that the kingdom promises? I'm ready for that, and I believe the timing of that is now for all of us. So we're going to start in the book of Joshua chapter 3. And if you go to Joshua chapter 3, I'm going to deal with only 8 verses tonight, the first 8 verses of Joshua chapter 3. And when you open this story, the children of Israel have just come through the wilderness. And when the story of Joshua opens, they are tired, they are weary, they are depressed. They have lost most of their loved ones. They have been in mourning for almost 38 years. Think about it, 600,000 adults could not inherit the promised land and they had to die in 38 years. That's a lot of funerals every day, every hour of the day. So 600,000 adults had to die in a 38-year period, which means there was constant death, constant loss all through the camps of Israel. So for 40 years, you can actually make that journey in a month, but it took them 40 years. Actually, really not 40 years. It took them 2 years to arrive because the Lord said, I've got to get Egypt out of you. You've been in Egypt. I can get you out of Egypt, but now I've got to get Egypt out of you. And the Lord said, I'm only doing this because I have to change your mentality from a slave to a warrior. And I have to develop a government that will be known in the future as the 12 tribes of Israel. Because right now it's just one big family scattered everywhere. And I need to develop a government that you will call Israel. And I have to develop those 12 tribes. I've sent Moses to lead you. So God spent 2 years getting them ready for what he had ready for them. Only 2 years. Now, in the scope of things, that's not a long time. 2 years sounds like forever if you're healing or if you're growing, but it's not that big of a span in a lifetime. So God says, I'm only giving you 2 years to get you ready for what I have ready for you. But something happened at the end of that 2 years. God was ready, and they were not ready. See, destiny only happens when preparation meets opportunity. What if God opens a door and you're not ready? So is that God's fault or your fault? What if God is preparing you? What if God is saying for you, I want you to quit fighting a battle and start growing up? What if God is trying to say to you, I want you to stop praying against the devil and stop pronouncing curses over your own life? I want you to stop declaring those things that are evil over you and focusing on the bad things and start declaring those things that are not as though they were. Start speaking the word and putting scriptures on your wall and declaring the good things of God over your life, because God was preparing them for 2 years only. And at the end of 2 years, God was ready and they were not. So because they were not ready, they had to go in circles in the wilderness for 38 and a half years for one purpose only, for them to die and God to raise up a generation that would believe. Now, I don't have time to go into the 12 spies and the bad report at Jericho, but they're on the verge. They're right there at Kadesh Barnea. They're right there ready to cross over in the Canaan land, and disbelief and doubt and longing for the past held them back. The things that prohibited them from going forward is trying to recreate what had been instead of embracing what God was doing. See, you can stand by, you can join the tribe of Manasseh and stay on the other side of Manasseh, and you can warm by an ash pit of where the pillar of cloud used to stand, or you can follow the cloud and cross the Jordan and follow God into the promised land. Yes, God did move, but what is God doing now? Yes, God did do something wonderful, but what is he trying to do now? Yes, it was amazing, but what is God trying to do now? What is the lion up to now? Where he's on the prowl. What is he up to now? It's one thing to embrace the revivals of the past. It's one thing to cherish the revivals of the past. It's one thing to love the victories of the past, but to try to recreate it is a work in futility. It can't happen. I want everybody to say this with me. The past is gone. Honey, you can't go back. What you're longing for doesn't exist anymore. So if it doesn't exist, why would we try to create something that doesn't exist when there's a great big God and an angel army standing right in front of us saying, if you can follow the cloud, I'll show you things that you never dreamed of. If you can follow the fire, I will give you beyond your wildest expectations. Faith can take you into new territories. Listen, one of the reasons we can't long for the past is because the past just doesn't exist anywhere. It doesn't exist anywhere in the world. COVID changed everything. The internet changed everything. The way we go to church changed. Everything in the whole world has been altered by a whole year of reset that the entire world went through. You don't do banking the same. You don't do church the same. Everything has changed. You don't do anything the same. It's changed. How can you? I love the good old days. You know me. You throw me an old song, I'll be here all night long beside the pen. I'll lean up against it, and I'll know every word. Not only that, I can tell you what page it's on in the Redback Hymnal. You call it out, I'll tell you what page it's on. I love the old school, and I love the old camp meetings. But you know what I love more? What I love more is what I have not seen. What I love more is eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things the Father has prepared for those who love him. It's one thing for me to want to go backwards, but it's another thing for me to want to go forward into a land I've never been into before and trust the Lord there.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have 4 ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
So here is how the story begins. Our story picks up there with them missing the opportunity because of complaining and because of longing for the past and because of disbelief, even though they had spent 2 years getting ready for the promised land. So in Joshua 3:1, then Joshua rose early in the morning and set out for Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, and he and the children of Israel and lodged there before they cross over. So let's start there. What is the first thing we can learn about this passage? So I've underlined the parts I want you to see in your Bible. They set out from, where are they coming from? Acacia Grove. Everybody say Acacia Grove. So what is Acacia Grove? Acacia Grove is in Moab. Now, what has happened previously at Acacia Grove? Well, that is where the children of Israel intermarried the Moabite women and brought curses into Israel because the Lord told them not to intermingle with the Moabite women. And that was where, remember Balaam and the curse he tried to put on them. And then he says, just send in these Moabite women, let them entice them. And then, so Moab is where this happened. Acacia Grove is where they failed. Acacia Grove is where they sinned. Acacia Grove is where Baal worship first started in Israel. Now, the word Acacia Grove means thorny. All right, so if you look up the word, if you want to do an etymology of the word literally means thorny. So Acacia Grove represents a place of pain. It represents a place of thorns and thistles and failures and pains and bringing curses upon the Israelites from Moab. That's what Acacia Grove literally means. But God. Somebody say, but God. How many of you know that God specializes in turning bad situations into good situations? How many know that God specializes in taking what Satan meant for harm and turning it for good? So what is God going to do with the old thorny Acacia Grove that stands for curses and pain and failure? What is God going to do with that? He tells Moses, I want you to make the Ark of the Covenant, and I know there's a lot better woods to pick from. But I want you to go back to that old cursed land of Moab, and I want you to peel those thorns off of that tree and make the Ark of the Covenant out of acacia wood. What? No, God, not acacia wood. How about an olive tree? How about something that is, how about a fig tree? It stands for Israel. Why would you want to make the Ark of the Covenant out of acacia? And God says, because the Ark of the Covenant is the only thing that can turn around the curse. The Ark of the Covenant is the only thing that can forgive those sins. The Ark of the Covenant can turn pain into power. It can turn trouble into promises. The Ark of the Covenant can turn what Satan meant for harm and turn it for your good. If you bring it to the mercy seat, if you bring it to the cross, what all the trouble in your life can turn around in a moment. So where you're coming from doesn't matter nearly as much as where you're going. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you're coming from the street. It doesn't matter if you're coming from the back alley or the drug scene or prostitution or a broken life or the jail. It doesn't matter if you're coming from misery or distress or depression. Where you're coming from doesn't matter. God says, leave that place. It's time to go. And I found the way to cover you and turn your life around. If God's ever done that for you, put your hands together and give him praise tonight in his house. Hallelujah. So God said the Ark of the Covenant will go before you and it will change the curses of your past. The greatest secret I've ever learned in the kingdom is Satan can't curse what God has blessed. Amen. Well, that's shouting grounds right there. You mind if I say that again? The greatest thing I've ever learned in the kingdom is Satan can't curse what God has blessed. All you have to do is bless it and reverse the curse. You don't need a 40-day fast to reverse a curse. All you need is one blessing from the Lord, and he can turn it all around. God changed the curse of Moab with one coffin, which is what the Ark of the Covenant was. Well, I wish I had time to preach on that, but I don't. Now look at the next thing he says in this verse. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. They set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. Oh, I'm telling you, if you know anything about the Jordan River, you understand what that means. The Jordan River is the line of demarcation. It is the line that separates the past from the future. The Lord says, when you cross the Jordan, you're no longer there, you're here. Not only that, I'm going to part the waters when you go across and bury your past behind you. When I bring those waters back, I'm going to roll them back all the way to Adam. And when you come back, that's God rolled the waters back all the way to the sea. city of Adam. Now, there's preaching there, but I don't have time to go there because God said, when these waters come back, your past is behind you. I am so thankful today that I can say about me and I can say about you, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new when you are a new creature in Jesus Christ. They had to go to the Jordan. Nick, a place of baptism. That's the Jordan, a place of baptism. By the way, Nick baptized 200 people last month. Can we give God praise for that? Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Crossing the Jordan is a place of baptism. Crossing the Jordan is a place of burial. Crossing the Jordan is a place to say goodbye to yesterday. Crossing the Jordan is a place of new adventure. It's a place of new faith. It's a place where old things are gone and new things begin. Somebody needs to learn a Disney song, and I typically don't promote Disney, but there's one song I really like. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Somebody needs to let it go and start living in the present instead of the past. Somebody needs to let it go and start claiming your future. Don't define yourself by who left you. Don't define yourself by your bankruptcy. Don't define yourself by the tragedy of divorce. Don't define yourself by a prison sentence. Don't define yourself by your last failure. The God that's in front of you is bigger than the pain that is behind you. The God that's in front of you is bigger than the trouble that's behind you. You don't have to long for anything but the future because He is already waiting for you there. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.